Boy, very nice to have everyone back with us on this Saturday morning at AT&T Park. We're joined by left-hander Dave Dravecki from the San Francisco Giants, and a very special day for Dave today. And one of his pitching partners, a guy I've really gotten to know and enjoy. Heck of a pitcher, relief pitcher. He threw a great pitch, I'll tell you that. And as Scott Gareltz is with us today. Scotty, first, good morning. How are you?
Thanks, Marty. I'm doing great.
Yeah, and you're out here to honor your buddy.
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss this. I mean, you know, Dave has been special, you know, while we were playing and then after we're playing. So, I mean, this is a great day.
Yeah, Kevin Mitchell's out here. Will Clark is here today.
Yeah.
Got a few people. In fact, if Kevin can hit, I'm thinking, can they activate him today? Can they possibly get him on this thing today?
I don't know. He didn't get much sleep last night. We saw him in the lobby coming over. So.
All right. Is he in playing shape? I haven't seen him.
He is in great shape. He really is in playing shape.
Very good. All right. That is Dave Dravecki. Dave, very special day for you today. And I want to tell all the fans, and of course, you just say Dave Dravecki and the courageous battle and how you came back and what you mean to the ball club, the community. And I love having you on and just hearing from you. It's very inspirational for everybody. But coming out here today, knowing this is a special day for you, what does that mean?
Oh, man. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this, and I've come to the conclusion that I don't have very many words to describe it. It's overwhelming. It's exciting. I think it's also, it keeps things in perspective. Yeah. You know, realizing the things that my wife and I have gone through, my family, what we've gone through over the years, and to be where we're at today, where we can reach out and encourage others in the same way we were encouraged, it's just a privilege. And I think what's really cool about it all, Marty, is that the Giants have embraced this. It's Cancer Awareness Day as well as the anniversary of the comeback. And so we get to honor those who are in the battle, in the fight against cancer, those who have lost that battle. And it's an opportunity, really, to acknowledge and honor them in this very special day that we'll celebrate.
Boy, terrific. August 10th, 1989 is the day. And if you're coming out to the park today, and you know, there'll be 41,277. Russ Stanley just walked by clicking his heels. You know, he doesn't even touch the ground anymore. Believe you know Russ. You know,
yes.
That's how excited he is because he can go to Alan Byron and say, see, I'm doing something. So, Russ, you know, I know you're listening. But we want fans to be in the seats by 12:30 today. This is very important for the program that's going to take place today. So I know we want to make sure everyone understands that. Come out earlier today and be here at 12:30. But give us the background. For those, you know, it's 1989. It's August of 89. It's a long time ago, 25 years.
Yeah.
And if unless you're 40 or older, you know, you don't really remember a lot of this stuff at that time. So bring us back just a little bit to what happened with you and the comeback. Mm-hmm. I got an email from someone who was out in Stockton who watched a pitch out there. They said 4,600 people. They roped off the field. It was one of the best nights they ever had at a ballpark out in Stockton. So that was part of the comeback. And then to get on the field, as Scotty says, to pitch against the Reds on August 10th of 1989 after going through what you did. But you need to give people the background a little bit so they understand this.
Yeah, that Stockton game was with the A-ball club. Yeah. And it was July 23rd. I remember it like it was yesterday. But, you know, fast forward to August 10th, 1989, And I think the most important thing in all of it was, you know, about 10 months earlier, I was being diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
And it was actually on our 10th wedding anniversary that I went in for surgery for 10 and a half hours to have the cancer removed from my arm. And then from there, the doctors had told me, outside of a miracle, I would never pitch again.
Wow.
So you can imagine the emotions that were running through me after 10 months of incredible rehabilitation. I mean, a lot of peaks, a lot of valleys, but some wonderful people in the Giants organization and this incredible team of doctors that helped me to get to where I ultimately wanted to get. And that was August 10th, 1989, standing on that mound against the Reds. And so all those emotions were flooding over me. And in that game, you know, I remember standing on the mound, Marty, and before the game started and just thinking, this is incredible. I'm not supposed to be doing this, and I am here. And so all those people, name after name after name was flooding through my mind and just being so thankful for each and every one of them because they're the ones that played the key part in getting me to that place.
Wow.
And then to be able to all of a sudden throw not just one pitch, but 93 pitches over 8 innings And then Bedrock, Steve Bedrosian, came in and got the save, and we went on to beat the Reds that day 4-3. It was just, it was overwhelming. It really was. But I will say real quick, the key to that day was really not even my comeback. Because if you remember, there was a little boy named Alex Vlahos, and his mom and dad, Gene and Susan, were battling to try and keep this little boy alive who had been diagnosed with leukemia. And as a result of that, they made a pledge out in the public that those who would come forward and donate blood, they would pay for that to try and find a bone marrow donor for their son. As a result, some 7,000 people came forward, and KNBR got wind of that, and it was amazing. They put a plea out to the community of San Francisco saying, for every pitch that Dave throws, let's donate money to help this family offset the costs of what they have just asked the community to do.
Wow.
That day, over $200,000 was raised because of the 93 pitches. And this little boy was able to get a bone marrow transplant. And unfortunately, it didn't take. And he lost his life a year later. But I talked to his dad a couple years ago, and he said, Dave, at least a half a dozen to eight people have come forward and said, from that blood drive, my life was saved because I was diagnosed with leukemia. And one of those people that donated blood was able to help me, and I'm alive today because of that. And so that little boy's life, even in his death, touched so many people.
Wow.
That was a powerful day for me.
Wow, amazing. And you deserve all the accolades you get and for what you give to the fans today and the community today. We love having you on,
Thank you, Marty.
It's always a pleasure to hear just those kind of stories from you, and they're right from the heart. I know that.
I appreciate
Scott Goreltz, you hear that from Dave, and being a teammate, I know you're going to join us later. We had a lot of fun with Eddie Montague, the umpire, but you hear this story, and being his teammate, and kind of, you know, you're in a pennant race. It's going to end up in a World Series. It's a crazy World Series with the earthquake and all that, but what are you thinking about as this is going on? He's disappeared. He's had the treatments, and he's one of your teammates.
I mean, you know, early in '88, when you know Dave was started the season, and pitched one game against LA, and then you know he had this you know bump on his arm, and he kept going. You know, they said it was blocker's bruise, and you know he had this issue, and finally, I know when he went to Cleveland Clinic and he walked in the room. I remember Dave telling the stories. You know, the doctor looked at him and said, look at that tumor. And Dave was that. That's the first time Dave had heard, like, uh-oh, you know. And but what was amazing to me looking back 25 years was the fact that everything Dave went through. I mean, the cancer, the removal, the radiation, the, you know, just, and we're not even really thinking, you know, looking for him to pitch. You know, the race is going on. We're competing day in and day out. Dave rehabs, goes on rehab starts, and he's throwing zeros up right and left. And, you know, then next thing you know, he's getting a start in the big leagues. And we're all, you know, everybody was amazed that you could even get to this point where he'd even pitch a game. But to be that successful doing it, I mean, the game is not that easy. And for him to have the control, you know, and to, after having a big piece of your arm removed, and then all of a sudden to come out and be that effective. I mean, that was just a tremendous lift to the team.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing stories of baseball. I just want – I have – Caleb was nice enough to print the box score from that game. So, and Scott, I know this is your favorite team, the Cincinnati Reds.
Thanks, Marty. Right. Thanks, Marty.
8 2/3. I always – but look, he did get 8 2/3 out of me. He was a great pitcher. I won't mention Paul O'Neill. I promised him I wouldn't do that. All right. Great. I love Scotty. He's the best. Luis Quiñones at second. Jeff Richardson at short. Eric Davis in center field. Herm Winningham. Joel Youngblood. I was going to call Joel today. And, you know, we worked the camp with Joel last year. He was in left field. Ken Griffey Sr.
Yeah.
Pinch hitting in that game. Todd Benzinger, who was one of the teammates at some point, right, with the Giants at first base. Joe Oliver, catcher, always a tough out. Scott Madison, Scott Scooter was the pitcher. Dave Collins is a pinch hitter in that game. Good coach as well. Rob Dibble. How about they had the Nasty Boys in against you? They threw them. Rob Dibble, Ron Oster, and Charlton against you. How about that? They did everyone with Myers against you in that game. And your teammates in that game. Brett Butler leads off, Robbie Thompson at second, Will Clark at first. This team should have won a pennant, right? You did. Will Clark at first, Kevin Mitchell at left, Matt, what a team. Matt Williams at third, Pat Sheridan. A good hitter, wasn't he? Left-hand hitter, right?
Good.
Left-hand hitter.
Right field.
Yeah, and right. Terry Kennedy, the catcher. How about throwing to Terry Kennedy that day?
Oh, that was amazing. I mean, first of all, he's not even with the ball club in January.
That's right.
And he gets traded over, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, if I make this comeback, the guy that caught me for 5 years in San Diego, he could be my catcher. That day, on August 10th, 1981, 1989, I walked into Roger's office, and I said, "Hum, baby, I've never done this before." And that was to request a catcher.
Wow.
And I said, "I want TK behind the dish." And he looked at me, he put a smile on his face, and just threw the lineup card in front of me. And he said, "Look down there." And I looked, and sure enough, there was TK.
Wow, I didn't know that. Very good. Great. Yeah. Thank you for adding that. Jose Uribe at short. And as you said, you started. Manwaring came in to catch a little bit, and Bedrosian finished up. So the fans on the line. And this is where we celebrate this. And first 20,000 today get a lapel pin celebrating this amazing. It's an amazing achievement. 8 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs, a walk, 5 strikeouts. You gave up a home run. Who hit a home run off you? Let's see. Quinones. Come on.
Please,
you give up
we don't even want to talk about it.
Come on. How did? Come on. Who?
Luis Quinones.
Oh, my goodness.
Hung a slider, Marty.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
That little cutter got flat.
All right. But you only, but in the whole game, you only faced 29 batters. As you said, they've got 92 pitches for you, 58 strikes, 34 balls, and opponent's batting average in the game, 143 against you. And then Bedrosian comes in and finishes it off with a couple of strikeouts. What an amazing day, huh? And how'd you hit that day? Let's see, pitchers hitting those days.
Mm-hmm. Let's not talk about that.
Two walks?
Yeah.
Wait
man,
a minute.
I had a decent eye.
Two walks?
Who was behind the plate? Who was umpiring that game?
All right, we're going to tell you. Hallion?
Tom Hallion.
And one of the favorites, Dutch Rennert, was at first base.
Dutch was at first base when I made a bang play.
How about Paul Runge? We've talked about him at second base. And Engel, was it? What's his first name?
Was it Bob Engel?
Something like that.
I think so.
So Tom Hallion, what kind of umpire? Was he a tight?
No, you know what? He actually called a really good game. I mean, I threw 92 pitches. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, that's the thing that for me today, I see these guys throwing 92 pitches. They're in the sixth inning.
That's right.
And I'm like, my gosh, in order for me to actually survive, I had to have 92 in the eighth and ninth inning.
What an amazing day. Amazing day. All right, let's stick around. We'll take a break because then there's a postscript to this story that comes on that really tells who you are as a man and as your teammate Scott will talk as well. So more coming up right here on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
KNBR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
Very special day at the ballpark today as we honor Dave Dravecki, the 25th anniversary of an amazing comeback for him. Scott Gorelitz, his teammate, is with us as well. If you're coming out to the ballpark, 12:30, be out here by 12:30. Dave, there is a postscript to the great game that you pitched and came back in Montreal, and then things certainly took another turn and brought you to where you are today.
Yeah, 5 days later, you know, I'm feeling really good about where I'm at, and especially coming off the comeback win and going to Montreal, and I'm pitching against the Expos. We're in the sixth inning and feeling great. I mean, you know, I'm in a groove, and I mean, it actually is really surprising that all of it kind of came back. And all of a sudden, in the sixth inning, I reared back to throw a sinking fastball to Timmy Raines. I'll never forget TK putting the sign down, doing a little wiggle, sets up outside, and the next thing I know, man, I'm laying on the ground with a broken arm and just gasping for air. And Will came over, Mark Letton, and they just started encouraging me to breathe because I was going into shock. And I've got to tell you, in that moment, once I started getting my faculties back, it wasn't, you know, there was no anger. There was no frustration. It was simply, wow, there is something so much bigger that's going on in my life right now, and I don't know what it is, but it certainly seems like there's just something much bigger that's taking place here.
Wow. What happened? I know that part of it was because of the treatment you had on the arm. It froze the bone, and, of course, it snapped at that point, and you never pitched again, but medically, what happened after that?
Well, after that, obviously, the cancer had reoccurred.
Yeah.
You know, I then had to announce my retirement right before Thanksgiving in 1989. And then following that, there were more surgeries. I had a surgery in January, and then they did brachytherapy, which put me in isolation for 5 days. And I'll tell you, Marty, that was probably harder than anything else because family couldn't come in and see me because the intense radiation was so strong. They had to stay behind a lead shield. and they could visit me from about, you know, 20 feet away, 25 feet away. And so I went through that, and then the cancer came back again. So I had to go back in for surgery, and then they did external radiation therapy and tried to attack it that way. And then all of a sudden, it came to the point where I contracted a staph infection.
Wow.
And I went through that for about 10 months.
Wow.
And ultimately, the reason why the doctors wanted to remove my left arm and shoulder was because of the staph infection. They were concerned it was going to invade the main cavity of my body. And as a result of that, that's when they wanted to do the amputation on June 18th of 1991.
Wow. Scotty, you hear that story? A teammate, a man you love. What do you think? You were there in Montreal when he went down as well.
In Montreal, when he went down, he went to the hospital, and he had come back to the room that night, and he had this x-ray with him. And he's showing us the x-ray and how the bone wasn't really broken half, but how it was kind of twisted and shattered. And he was, I don't think he was on any painkillers or anything.
No.
And he was leaving to go back to San Francisco the next day. But he just wasn't in any pain. And I'm looking at the x-ray going, oh, my God, look at this x-ray. So, but, you know, to see that happen. And but then, you know, Dave goes and he's going through everything he said. And but yet the game goes on and we're playing. We're trying to get into the playoffs. And I mean, so it really is tough because one hand you're thinking about Dave and how inspirational he was to get those two games in. But then now he's gone and then he finds out has the cancer back. So, I mean, it was a real roller coaster.
Wow, for a teammate, you know, with Twitter and everything today, everything's so close and all the teammates tweet amongst themselves and all that. The world has become, two inches long, basically.
Yeah.
But in those days, to communicate with everyone and for everyone to know about it, I'm glad you could say those things because we don't know that, you know, what it was really like on the inside of it at that point.
You know, Marty, I think one of the cool things was after the ball game, Scotty was in there in my room with me, and Hammer had come down, Atlee Hammaker, and I think Greg Litton was there, and Jeff Brantley. And Bugsy. I think Bugsy had come in too as well. And so anyway, we're sitting in there, and every player came walking in to check in on me.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, the coaches are walking in to check on me and make sure everything's okay. And it was just, it was overwhelming. And on top of that, I didn't get to eat the spread. and so bloop, Scotty G ends up going down to Burger King. And I don't know how much, you must have spent $100, man, because he came back with
a
boatload of burgers, and just dumped the burgers and fries on the king-size bed in my room. And we had a feast eating Burger King, which was one of those unwritten rules. If you get caught eating fast food, you were going to get fined. And yet it was, I'm just floored when I think back on that. No pain meds, and we were in this moment of just going, what in the world is going on?
Wow.
And so anyway, it was a pretty special time. These guys are, you know, the fact that they're out here.
Family.
And they're family.
Yeah.
And I hope I can remember to talk a little bit about that today.
Well, do you know what the program's going to be about today? I know the lapel pins are going to be given out to 20,000. We want people there by 12:30. I can't wait. Let's see. I'm still on the air. I don't get off till about 12:40, so I'm going to have to miss some of it. But what's it going to be like? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Oh, good. Okay.
It's a total
surprise.
So I have absolutely no idea.
Maybe they'll have you breaking a couple of bats. Scotty, he broke some bats. Is that what you were telling me?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
What? Do you have a history breaking people's bats or something?
Yes, I did. I learned that cutter, and I learned how to get it in on the hands, Marty, which was probably one of the most important pitches in my repertoire of two pitches.
But that's all it really takes. I mean, you try to explain that to kids that, you know, you see young kids try to throw four pitches, and you tell them all you need is two. And, I mean, you can pull out Dave Dravecchia as an example of, you know, a little sinker, a little cutter, and you can pitch.
Yeah. It's where you put the ball.
Yep.
It's where you put the ball. Very last question. I know you got a lot to do this morning, but last night watching Tim Lincecum, your thoughts about Scotty, about Tim Lincecum?
You know, we talked about him in January fantasy camp. And, you know, to me, you know, Tim, he's won Cy Young's. I mean, it's, you know, there's never going to be a problem. You might start off a season struggling a little bit, but the cream will always rise to the top.
Yeah. What was different then? What did you see as a pitcher last night? Why is he so successful now?
Well, I think he's just finding his rhythm, and I think rhythm and feel is so important, and he's in that groove. And I think the other thing, too, is he's learning how to pitch, Marty, And I think that's the big difference between the Tim Lincecum with the Cy Youngs and the Tim Lincecum with the recent no-hitter and where he's at today. And it takes time to make that adjustment. Yeah. And I think he's made it extremely well, and he's contributed. You know, the wonderful thing about Timmy is he's a gamer, man. He's going to go out there every day, and no matter where you put him, whether it's in the bullpen, as we experienced, and the help that he was there, or being in that starting rotation, and the guy is just, he's a gamer, man. And I love a guy like Timmy being on this ball club and putting us in good position, especially going into the All-Star break.
I love the bunt.
Yes.
I love the bunt. Come on, Roger. Did Roger Craig ever bunt?
Oh, yes. Imagine that. The suicide squeeze.
Come on. I love it.
All day
you must
long.
Have been called it many times, right?
All
Absolutely.
Day long.
It was safety squeeze last night, I assume, but I loved it.
Absolutely.
I loved it. You guys did it, and you did it well. It was a big part of your offense.
Yeah.
Boy, nice to have you both here today. Dave, congratulations to you and for what you mean to everybody, not in baseball but in the world. You've certainly been a big inspiration to me. I love having you on the show and everyone who comes in contact with you. So congratulations to you. And Scotty, it's a pleasure. Always great to see you, and we always have lots to talk. You're going to join us later with the umpire, Eddie Montague. Wait to hear these stories later on. These are pretty good. So congrats to both of you. Thanks for coming in, and Dave, have a great day today.
Thanks,
buddy. Thanks,
Marty.
Pleasure.
All right. More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.